are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Brian Peacock back again on this Monday. A huge victory to start the season for the San Francisco 49ers, starting 2019 1-0, 31-17 win in Tampa Bay over the Buccaneers. Rapid react episode here. My initial thoughts from the win. Give out a couple of game balls at the end of the show, and then we'll continue to break this thing down and then look ahead to week two as we go through the week here on Locked On 49ers. We are coming at you daily here on the show 5 days a week, but we've got to start with this one, a win. An ugly win, that's okay. A victory nonetheless for the 49ers. And feel free to start getting those mailbag questions in. It's going to be a fun Tuesday episode, dipping into the mailbag, and then again hit a couple more with Nick on Thursday, who's, I'm sure, going to be excited about the victory from Sunday. You can hit me with those mailbag questions at BD Peacock on Twitter. Email LockedOn49ers at Gmail. You can find this podcast and all of the shows on the Locked On Podcast Network, including Locked On NFL that I also co-host alongside former NFL scout Matt Williamson, on all of your favorite podcast apps, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Himalaya. We are everywhere. I mentioned how this was an ugly win, and it was, but that's good teams win ugly games, so that's important. And usually teams with good defenses are better winning at those ugly games, and it was the defense that really showed up in this one because Jimmy Garoppolo was not sharp. He was not sharp at all. What was it, 4 touchdowns were called back because of penalties in this game between the two teams combined? And it's one of the things that I talked about with the red zone. And we saw it early. First drive, a penalty takes away a George Kittle touchdown. The 49ers have to settle for 3 on the opening drive. And you thought, okay, is this how it's going to be again for the 49ers? Are they going to have to go through this again and shoot themselves in the foot when they're down there near the end zone trying to put 6 points on the board? But no, they kind of pulled out of that, especially in the second half. And so I think the big play, well, first of all, the ugliest play of the game was that Jimmy Garoppolo interception, that pick 6. Just, he didn't even peek over to the left side of the field. He looked right, looked back left, and just unloaded the ball to Tevin Coleman, who was lined up wide left. He was split out with an empty backfield. And Vernon Hargraves, to his credit, the cornerback over there, just sat on it. He was squatting on that route and then jumped it. I don't think if it was a perfectly accurate pass or even had more zip on it, would have even mattered because he's thrown it to the far side of the field, didn't even look. The dude was squatting on it, and it was just an easy pick 6, walk in the end zone for a touchdown for Vernon Hargraves. So really bad decision, really bad play by Jimmy Garoppolo, and you hate to see that. But on the positive side of things, the 49ers didn't crumble. Garoppolo didn't crumble, got his confidence back, and came out in the second half, and the team looked much better, especially on the offensive side of the ball in the passing game. And it was Richie James who gave the 49ers that spark in the second half. 39-yard touchdown catch, a little out and up from the slot. Jimmy Garoppolo found him. I like how he didn't lay it up for Jimmy Garoppolo, Jimmy Garoppolo didn't lay it up for Richie James like deep into the end zone where he's going to have to catch it and make a tough catch over his shoulder to where he's going to, you know, have to put his toes in bounds and he didn't get too cute. It was more of a line drive shot because he was so wide open. He just threw it over the defender. Here, go get it. Easy catch, run into the end zone, 39-yard touchdown. And I feel like that really sparked the 49ers in the second half because it was 7-6 Tampa Bay at that point. A couple of field goals in the first half for the 49ers. But right after that, it just came quick. Then it was the next possession from the Bucs, a Richard Sherman pick 6. A terrible throw by Jameis Winston. 2 pick 6s actually in that game, both attempts to the running backs, which are interesting. It was almost the identical type of play. Running back split out wide. It was just on the right side instead of the left side when Winston threw that interception. It wasn't even so much as Richard Sherman squatting on the route. Sherman was actually behind the receiver. It was just such a bad throw by Jameis Winston, who was not good at all in this football game. But that put the 49ers up 20-7. early in the second half and really put them in cruise control there. Or, you know, I guess the 49ers aren't really in the mode to be in cruise control, but it just put them in charge of that football game. And I think the confidence really sprung throughout the team and you could really feel it. But I actually want to talk a little bit more about the first half before we get too deep into the second half there. And one of the initial notes I have here was on the depth chart, which was quite a surprise. We talked a lot about it. We hadn't seen it in the preseason. We hadn't seen the combination of Deebo Samuel and Marquise Goodwin starting, or at least on the field together, with Deebo playing Z and Goodwin playing X, even though I thought Deebo should be playing that flanker spot all along. And lo and behold, they come out and Debo's at the Z in the first series of the first game of the season, even though they hadn't showed that in the preseason. So I'd really like to know how much they were working on that behind the scenes and in practice and stuff, because Deebo was out there and he was the starter. And Marquise Goodwin was the starter across from him at the other side, at the split end position, the X wide receiver position. But no Dante Pettis. No Dante Pettis in the first series, no Dante Pettis in the second series. In fact, the number three wide receiver in this game was Richie James. Now, I know Dante Pettis had a bit of an injury in the week leading up to it, but he had practiced fully. He was no longer limited at the end of the week. He wasn't being held out of this game. He wasn't inactive or anything. So he was able to get on the field. He was just buried on the depth chart, which is surprising, but also a little bit telling. And I think I think Kyle Shanahan already sent Dante Pettis a message. I think this is not even a message. This is like, this is where you're at. You're not a starter right now. So Dante Pettis, I just really feel like, and maybe due to the injury, they held him out a little bit, but why would you let him play if you were worried about the injury? He was literally the fourth or fifth wide receiver in this game. So that's very interesting to me. He only got a few snaps. He got one ball thrown his way, which he caught. And I wonder if this will light a fire under Dante Pettis now that he wasn't out there when things count for real, or if this is just what the depth chart's going to be. Deebo Samuel won the starting job. He's a second-round pick. I mean, there's no reason to pull Deebo Samuel out of the starting lineup at this point. He's playing the position. You can mix Dante Pettis in. You can have Dante. And that's actually the surprising thing, that Dante Pettis wasn't in the slot. And it was Richie James that was getting those number three wide receiver reps playing in that Trent Taylor role. And actually, Richie James on that touchdown pass gives you a little bit of juice, a little something that Trent Taylor doesn't really give you as much of, is that downfield speed to beat a guy like that on a play. And just such a great spark for the 49ers. Love seeing that coming out in the second half after a really ugly first half and just be like, okay, now we feel like we're ready. And that second half 49ers team is the team that you hope you see more of going forward this season. All right, more game notes and game balls coming up. Next time you're planning a night out, or maybe you want to go see a concert, go see a show, go see the 49ers. Think of Vivid Seats. Vivid Seats is an online event ticket marketplace dedicated to providing fans of live entertainment with experiences that last a lifetime. With Vivid Seats, listeners can watch their favorite teams and artists, bands perform in person, earning credit back on all purchases made through the Vivid Seats app via the Vivid Seats Rewards Loyalty Program. They offer great prices and an easy purchasing experience, as well as in-app loyalty program. Those reward statuses range from MVP to Hall of Fame caliber. Customers can earn from 10% up to 16% credit on all of their purchases through the app. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Fans are automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards Loyalty Program and enjoy credits on all their purchases. All Vivid Seats confirmed orders are backed by a 100% guarantee, so no worries about running into scalpers and getting some bunk tickets. And you might want to go hit Vivid Seats now, because those 49ers tickets, if they keep winning like they did in week one, those tickets are going to get a little bit hotter. Enter promo code KICKOFF at checkout to receive a discount of up to $100 at Vivid Seats. We talked about the wide receiver rotation already. Let's talk about the running game, because Tevin Coleman was clearly the starting running back in this game, and there was clearly a rotation behind him, but it was Coleman. He was all alone as the running back for the first two series of the game, and then People were wondering, where's Matt Breida? But yeah, he popped in there for the third series of the game, and then Coleman was back in, and then both guys ended up getting injured, and then there was a nice little stretch where Raheem Mostert was running the show for a while. So all three guys getting run. Coleman ended up with a, looks like an ankle injury. He's getting an MRI in Youngstown. They're going to look at this further, but it's, I don't think it's going to be a long-term injury, but they're fearing that he might be out for a week or two. So it might be a couple of weeks that Tevin Coleman is out, in which case you would think that Jeff Wilson will be called up from the practice squad. But it's awesome that Jeffrey Wilson was able to get through waivers, get to the practice squad for the 49ers for this very reason, because running backs, the attrition rate is crazy. Matt Breida also had a concussion or got checked out for a concussion at game, and he was off the field for a little while. And then he came back in, and then Coleman left with the ankle injury. And so Raheem Mostert actually running pretty well. I liked what I saw from Raheem Mostert in that game, and actually I think he looked like the best running back out there. He had the best yards per carry, 4.4 average on his 9 carries for 40 yards. Matt Breida only at 2.5 yards per carry, 15 carries. He got the most work for 37 yards, and Tevin Coleman, 3.8 yards per carry on his 6 rushes for 23 yards. And Tevin Coleman definitely has not yet flashed for me. Not only in this game, but in the preseason. I still haven't seen it yet with Tevin Coleman. And I know Kyle Shanahan really believes in him. Kyle Shanahan wanted him in the draft and drafted him when he was in Atlanta and used him as the backup behind Devontae Freeman, and now, you know, spent some money to bring Tevin Coleman in, and he looks like he wants him to be the starting running back, but I just still haven't seen it. And Matt Breida didn't have a lot of luck either, and in fact, the running game just wasn't working a lot. But man, when you saw Raheem Mostert in there, that dude has burst. He had a nice 18-yard run. There was another run that went for about 3 yards that was maybe his most impressive run. I loved seeing him run over. By the way, there was I think it was the 18-yard run at the very end. It was kind of an exclamation point where he ran over the defender, but the defender called for going in head first and was like, dude, Raheem Mostert was the dude that trucked him. I don't know what you were looking at, ref. And I don't know, some of those calls, the Quan Alexander, we got to talk. I mean, I'll hold off on that. We won't talk about the defense, and maybe we'll talk about the defense in a second, but anyway, Raheem Mostert to me looks as good as Tevin Coleman or better. I mean, judging by everything that we've seen from Tevin Coleman, Matt Breida, and Raheem Mostert in their careers as a 49er, I would have Breida 1, Mostert 2, and probably Coleman 3. That's just from my eyes, from what I've seen. I still haven't seen Coleman flash. I've seen Breida flash a ton. We saw it last year, saw it in the preseason. I've seen Raheem Mostert flash a ton. His problem last year was that he put the ball on the ground, but he averaged like 6 yards per carry, and saw it again in this one. He's explosive. He can get a lot of yards. He got he got a big run. There was a touchdown run called back because there was a hold on Richie James, which was a complete bogus call, by the way. So too many flags in this game. Raheem Mostert, I like what I see from him. I've got no problem. I mean, he was a special teams guy, and that's it, earlier in his career. But I've got no problem with him handling the rock and running the football for the 49ers. I like what I see from Raheem Mostert running the ball. So I don't know how much time Tevin Coleman's going to miss. Jeff Wilson's going to be called up. We'll see who they got to cut somebody. If they elevate Jeffrey Wilson from the practice squad to the active roster, they got to get rid of somebody. And so who do you get rid of? They have 4 tight ends. That would seem like the logical position. Caden Smith was completely inactive. C.J. Beathard, inactive. Daniel Brunskill, offensive line. They're still a little bit short on the offensive line. I can't see them losing another one of them. Jason Verrett, he's too talented. I can't really see them dropping him. Jimmy Ward's got the finger injury. He might be able to be back with a club on his hand next week. You've got Trent Taylor and Jalen Hurd that are both ailing. Maybe when they come back, there's an extra wide receiver that could be released in favor of bringing in Jeff Wilson. So I don't know. That's an interesting one because it's nice to have a guy that you can bring up, but you got to drop a guy. I would think tight end's the obvious position, that there's one too many guys that are unnecessary. And that's as witnessed by Caden Smith not even suiting up. A wide receiver, they would have one too many also. And so maybe Kendrick Bourne would be that guy if either Trent Taylor, Jalen Hurd, or both are ready to go. I don't know. Something to think about there. But the 49ers, I think, are still going to be fine at running back, and they've got plenty of coverage with all the guys and all the options they have there. I guess we got to talk about the defensive side of the ball. Let's start with Richard Sherman, who had the pick six in that game. It was an up-and-down game. He also got called for three penalties, could have had a fourth penalty. I thought they were going to, when they reviewed that one at the end of the game, I thought for sure they were going to call Richard Sherman for a penalty on that because he was all tangled up with Mike Evans, didn't turn his head to look for the ball or anything. Evans tried to go up and jump for the ball, and Richard Sherman had his arms. But there was a little bit from Evans, too, and so maybe that was enough for them to say, yeah, we got to let him play here. And I like that they let him play there. I think that's a good call. I just didn't think that's what the call was going to be. But after the game, Sherman was fired up, and he was talking about how people who had counted him out, he was coming for their neck, and it was like, okay, calm down, Sherm. You had an all right game. Winston threw the ball right to you. You had some penalties. It's like not the best game of your career. I know you're pumped up because the 49ers won, but, you know, calm down a little bit. String a few of these together, and then you can start talking your smack. But I thought that was kind of funny. The Quan Alexander ejection. I mean, he came to play. He was fired up. He got a stop on the opening series. He popped Ronald Jones at the line of scrimmage. He dropped an easy interception. When the pass rush finally started to get home, the pass rush wasn't quite there at the beginning of the game and then started just coming and coming at Jameis Winston. But then he gets ejected, and that was obvious. It's like, okay, I don't think he was trying to go helmet to helmet there. And I hate that because Winston is kind of like the Raheem Mostert play. It's as much on the offensive player as it is the defensive player. Winston didn't slide feet first. He was going head first. And when you're running full speed, you're trying to tackle a guy, you're trying to go low, and then all of a sudden the guy you're trying to tackle dips down, there's going to be some incidental helmet contact there. There was a play later in the game where one of the 49ers recovered a fumble, and a dude came straight in from the Tampa Bay Bucks defense and speared him straight in the head. They didn't care. They don't throw a flag when an offensive lineman's completely defenseless on the ground and gets speared after he picks up a fumble. So it's definitely because it was a quarterback, but Winston didn't protect himself. And I hate that. I hate the penalty, let alone ejecting a guy for that. Not a fan of that. But Quan Alexander gets the last laugh. He didn't play long, about a quarter worth of football, but his new team, the 49ers, beat his old team, the Bucks, in Tampa, and Kyle Shanahan gave him the game ball afterwards, which I think was a pretty cool gesture. And then Quan Alexander says, yeah, he basically accepted that for the team, and it's as much the rest of the team's as it is his because they went out and did their business and won the game. So that was a pretty cool moment. But how about that pass rush, huh? 49ers getting home, getting after Jameis Winston, getting pressures, getting hits, getting sacks. D Ford forcing a fumble on Jameis Winston. That was awesome to see, and the pressure finally got to Jameis Winston, and the dam broke, and Winston ended up throwing three interceptions. Let's see, what was Winston's final line? He was 20 for 35, only 194 yards passing, the one touchdown, but three interceptions, a 46.6 passer rating. That was largely due to the pressure that the 49ers were able to generate and make Jameis Winston make some mistakes and force him into making some bad throws. He threw a ball to Richard Sherman. He took to the house, threw a ball right to Akella Witherspoon, who had a good game, and that was an easy pick, and he took that one to the house. And, man, in the red zone, a big-time stop from the 49ers defense. The Bucks went for it on fourth down. Tarvarius Moore coming from the opposite hash to jump in front of a slant route by Chris Godwin. He didn't get the pick. He could have taken that 100 yards, but he broke up the play and ended the Bucks' drive with no points. 49ers got the ball back. So big-time play by the defensive line. Defensive backfield was helped out by that, and so really that combination is so great to see for the 49ers, and that is going to be a huge factor in the 49ers taking a massive leap forward in 2019, getting that pressure, that defensive front, making things difficult for opposing quarterbacks. And you also, it begs the question, okay, so was it the front that really got to Jameis Winston, or is Jameis Winston just that guy who's so easily rattled and so careless with the ball and is so prone to making mistakes like that and throw the ball to the other team? Is that something that we can continue to see? Where are we going to see more of the 49ers front making things tough for other quarterbacks? Because Jameis Winston had one of the worst weeks, I think, in the NFL by quarterbacks. Was it the 49ers that forced it, or was it the bad offensive line in Tampa and the mistake-prone quarterback? So we'll see as the season goes forward if it was a chicken and the egg or if it was a lot of both with those two factors and the 49ers defense. And really, as we had talked about all week, laid it out, that was the game plan. That was how the 49ers were going to win this game, make life difficult for Winston, force him into mistakes, and that's exactly what happened. Four turnovers, one of the five keys of the game I went through on Friday, four turnovers for the 49ers, more interceptions in week one of 2019 than they had all of 2018. And that is why the 49ers were victorious Sunday. Let's give out some game balls. This podcast brought to you in part by Greg's Tax Service. They've been in the business for 25 years. They're an honest, straightforward tax company that can help you with all of your tax problems, unfiled returns, back taxes, IRS collection, audit representation, and more. See their website for more details, gregstaxservice.com. Guys, do you remember the days when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up. BlueChew.com. That's like blue, the color blue. BlueChew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach, and since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. Now, this isn't just for guys who can't perform. It's for any guys who want that extra function to enhance their performance in the bedroom. Most guys talk a good game, but if you're one and done, Blue Chew can even help you follow through for round two. Blue Chew is prescribed online and ships straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor visits, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made right in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use special promo code Locked On. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's Blue, BlueChew, BlueChew.com, promo code Locked On. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring this podcast. I really like that Quan Alexander got that game ball signifying, you know, the win in Tampa, his old team, and it meant so much to him. That was pretty cool. But you know what? You went helmet to helmet. You got ejected. You didn't earn the game ball on the field. I'm going to give some game balls to some guys who are out there really making this win happen for the 49ers. And I want to start with his counterpart at linebacker. Fred Warner hasn't got enough accolades, so I'm going to give him one. He gets the first game ball here. Nine total tackles leading the team. He had a pass defensed. He had the forced fumble. That was a really huge game by Fred Warner. He was all over the place, so that was fun to see. So he's going to get a game ball, and I'm going to stay in the front seven and just give the whole defensive line a collective game ball because they were pressuring Jameis Winston. They were hassling him, and that was the key to this game, is putting pressure on Winston, making Jameis Winston, making him make mistakes, and specifically the three guys who got home got sacks. D Ford was pressuring him all day. He got the sack and a forced fumble. And by the way, D Ford has the most forced fumbles in the NFL with eight, dating back to the start of the 2018 season, ahead of J.J. Watt, ahead of Khalil Mack, ahead of T.J. Watt, ahead of Justin Houston, most in the league. So he gets there, and when he gets there, he tries to find the ball. So, yes, turnovers. Four turnovers. Turnovers are key. Pressure the quarterback. Get the ball out. Hit the quarterback. Pick the ball off. 49ers defense came to play in week one. See if they can keep that momentum going. Not the only guy with a sack in this one. Eric Armstead got a sack and a tackle for a loss. And Nick Bosa, even though it was obvious that he was hampered by that ankle, he was not able to move laterally very well at all. And we saw him actually get lost and get juked a couple of times by Jameis Winston. And Jameis Winston is the most nimble quarterback in the NFL. But Bosa still got a sack. He still got a tackle for a loss. And he was out there manning up and creating some problems and bull rushing, and he wasn't able to turn the corner, I think, like he will, and I'm glad he didn't hurt his ankle worse, and I hope he didn't, because he definitely was hampered by that and was not moving great laterally like we saw from him in the spring and in college and earlier in the season. So there's even more to come. Nick Bosa is even better than what we saw out there on Sunday, which was pretty good. I want to stay on the defense for one more game ball, and that goes to Akella Witherspoon. And it's not even so much for the pick six, which was nice. That ball was thrown right to him. You could even put that one on the defensive front as well that caused something like that to happen. But he was good elsewhere, and he was in coverage. There was no big mistakes, and really good in coverage, and no busts in coverage. And I think that was key for the entire secondary. The safeties, Jaquaski Tartt, Tarvarius Moore, they were where they needed to be. There was no plays where they stopped and looked around and put their palms up in the air like, what happened? Where were you? I don't know. You were none of that stuff, which was awesome to see. So just the defense playing super sound all around, which is cool to see. But Akella Witherspoon, because he's taken a lot of grief from fans, three passes defensed in that game. Of course, the pick six as well. So Akella Witherspoon getting a game ball. And sort of to tie that idea in, it was awesome at the end of the broadcast to see Joe Staley go up and find defensive coordinator Robert Saleh, give him a big hug. I thought that was pretty cool. And it kind of signified, yeah, okay, the defense carried that one, a couple of touchdowns, and the offense was really sputtering, especially in the first half of that game. And so it was big to see the defense come up huge and really lead the 49ers to victory in week one. But there was a player on offense, and he gets a game ball, and I believe he is the one that sparked that second half run and the second half a surge by the 49ers. And he only had one catch, but it was a 39-yard touchdown. My boy, Richie James, that some of you all were trying to cut before the season started. He was a huge spark in that game for the 49ers. 39-yard touchdown catch. Richie James gets the final game ball in this one. All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. The first rapid react of the season, and it is a W, starting the season off right. Hit me with your mailbag questions at BD Peacock on Twitter. Email LockedOn49ers@gmail.com. Be back with you Tuesday right here, Locked On 49ers.